Thank you, Madam Moderator. I would like to, before I started, I would like to thank my good friend, the chairman of the organising committee, and all the staff from the organising committee. It was delightful to be back to Tauran, and this is my second time to visit Tauran University of Medical Science. And my colleague Matthew Monkhouse and myself are really truly enjoying here. So thank you for providing your hospitality to me. And today what I'm going to talk about is from an Australian's perspective. I think this morning, I think the speakers are really, really good, give the set up the foundation about internationalization of the higher education. My life is all about research. So international research is the key for all the universities. And I think Jen, from her presentation, to talk about the building the capacity, and that's my job, to building the capacity through internationalization of our research. So what I'm going to do is talk about the international landscape. Where is Australia in the international research? So we need to know, I mean, most of the people say Australia is so far away, it's middle of nowhere. Yes, we are. We're very far from most of the people, but we're very close to a lot of you, the visitors around the world as well. So I'm going to present to you where it is at in Australia in the international research landscape. And then I'm going to talk about a little bit about the national policy. I think the two ministers this morning to talk about the national level, how you're going to evaluate your research and research training. And I'm going to talk about Australian system. So most of the universities in Australia, there's about 40 universities in Australia, 39 are public, there's only one small private university. So large majority of the university is public owned. Our behavior, the university behavior from Australian universities are mainly from the policy driven from the federal government and also in some way state government as well. And then I'll talk about Macquarie University, why Macquarie University is so, it's a young university, very unique. And also I'm going to talk about one program, and I think Jen, through the joint PhDs and Co-Tutel program, that's something I'm going to talk about from Macquarie University's perspective. Okay, have a look about the world. I think some one of the presenters already talked about the one thing about research is different with evaluating the rankings, is because a lot of rankings is to talk about like US, THE, there's a large chunk of the percentage is talk about word of mouth. It's not evidence-based, it's perception-based. But I think if you're doing international research, it must be evidence-based. The data is critical, and I think a lot of those people in the mornings do talk about the data, lack of data to analyze all those things. One of the things to understand the percentage of all those things is by publications. So this is world publications. If you have a look at Australia, number one is the United States, number two is China, I think it's presented. And then Australia is number 11, and it depends on the year, and sometimes number 10, number 11 of Australia. And then I think Iran is number 22 in terms of the publications. I choose four countries to compare, number one, number two, Australia and Iran. So the yellow line is it's the United States, and the blue line is China, and the green line is Australia, and the red one is Iran. You see all these four countries, and from 1996, China and Australia published the same number of paper. And by 2014, it's published about eight times. So this is how government investment driving the science and innovation could give to you, and see this is how the thing's happening. And you see Australia and Iran is pretty much, Iran is in fact is growing higher than Australia. But by 2010, it's slowing down a bit, and the United States is in declining for the last couple of years. And this is by citation. Citation, so you see a lot of people, this is the green line, it's Australia. So every paper published by Australian authors and cited more than 21 times. And then United States, it's about 16 to 17, and Iran is about 8 or 9. And then this is China. So you see, this is about citation per paper published. A smaller country, but if you have to think about it, United States have more than 300 million people. China have 1.3 billion. I think Iran have 80 million people, and Australia is a small country, only 23 million people. We never will competing with a country like the United States or China in terms of publications and number of publications. But if you divide it by per capita, and Australia is top in the world. So that means Australia is very productive in terms of publications. And in terms of per paper citation, if you have a look, again, Australia is outstanding. So we're not only a very productive country in terms of research, but also very, very good quality. Every single paper published, we're higher than the number one, number two, and Iran in terms of publications and citation per publication. This is about internationalization, international collaborative paper. So Australia is a green, again, United States, yellow, China is a blue, and you see the red one is Iran. It's very volatile in terms of Iran. In 1996, Iran have more international collaborative paper, 35% of paper published by Iran and international collaborative. And by 2014, you only have about 20. So that's very volatile the last 20 years in terms of the publication for international collaboration. So I think there's an external reason, as we all know, and there's a sanction in place, but also there's an internal reason as probably as well. So I guess I'm not trying to speculate. And if you see Australia, and nearly 50%, it's about 45% of paper published in Australia is about international collaborated. That make Australia is one of the top internationalized a country in the world in terms of international research. Okay, talk a little bit about Australia. So the beautiful harbour in Sydney, so if you haven't been there, make sure you're going. Australia government invested about $9.7 billion each year. This is data based on the 2015-16 budget in the federal government. We invest about nearly 2% of our GDP into the science and research and innovation. The major chunk is through industry tax refund. Nearly 60% of our research is when the company invested in the research, they have a tax refund. So 30% of research is industry refund rebate. And the second part is about 21% is block funding. This funding is all the 40 universities, 39 public universities, is competing based on your research performance to competing this funding. Okay, so more your research intensive based on different categories, and then the more money you're gonna get for your PhD program, scholarships, research infrastructure, overhead, and all those things is based on that. And also there's two research councils. One is called National Health and Medical Research Council, and one is called Australian Research Council. So the two councils taking nearly 20% of our funding. So what they're doing is basically all the research funding, it's forward funding. You have idea, you apply, and based on your track record, your proposal, and your international collaboration, and the government will fund your research. Any research will be divided by medical and clinical, or non-medical and non-clinical. So NHMRC is funding for all medical and clinical research. ARC is funding for non-clinical and non-medical. So I used to work at Australian Research Council. That's why I know the program quite well. They also have a responsibility to implementing the Australian Code for Responsible Conduct for Research. Australia is one of the very few countries in the world have the National Code on Responsible Conduct for Research, basically to prevent the falsification, FFP, the falsification, fabrication, and plagiarism about the research integrity. So basically, we not only train the research as an excellent researcher, but also responsible researcher as well. Okay, so the government knows we're very productive. As a small country, we only have 0.04% of the world population, but we contribute about 4% of the world knowledge every year. So we're a small player, but we are a big player in terms of our population per capita. But the government say, okay, I want to know what is the quality of our research. So we have this program called Excellent Research for Australia. So every 2 or 3 years, every single university, every single discipline will be assessed. All the universities have to report to the ARC on behalf of the government, and the ARC will organize all the assessment. So every single university will be assessed based on their performance. Depends on the disciplines. There's about 22 big disciplines at the 2 digits level, and there's 4 digits level and 6 digits level, so there's all different things. So that's the program called Excellent Research in Australia. So this is a national scheme to evaluating the quality of research for every single university in Australia. Engagement. So the government also wants to know what is the impact. There are certain disciplines you can't assessing them by, say, evaluating the excellence. For example, Macquarie University, all of you using Macquarie technology. Why? Because the Wi-Fi chips, you know, you're all using Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi chips is invented by Macquarie professor. So there's more than 6 billion devices around the world using Macquarie technology. How are you going to assessing that in the excellence? So this scheme is basically to evaluating research-related impact to the society, to the environment, to the economy. So I think the minister mentioned about the knowledge economy. This is one of the reasons why the government want to know, because it's public funding, and the government want to know what have things you have done as a public university. Macquarie University, we're very young compared with our partner Charles University sitting there, the very old university. As traditional university and very advanced as our partner, but we're only 52 years old. We're very young, we founded in 1964. But the university is very unique. It's the only university in Australia owns the land. It's about 2.6 hectares of land, worth about $2.6 billion in Australia. So that's why Macquarie University can do a lot of things other universities can't do. For example, we can use the value of the land, go into the bank, borrow the money, and build our own hospital. Again, Macquarie is a public university, but we are the only university in Australia owns a private hospital. So the hospital is not big, it's only about 150, 160 beds, but it's a very technical advanced the hospital. There's paperless, and there's from your autoimmune right to neurosurgery. There's no paper involved, everything is in the cloud. It's 126 hectares of land, it's very green, it's like a park, and it's in the most expensive part of Sydney. Again, this is our hospital. This is the train station. Again, we are the only university owns the train station in New South Wales as well. Another initiative is because we have 26 companies on our campus because we own the land and we're doing joint research with industry. This is one of the examples, one of the 26 companies. Surrounding us, there's about 160 companies around us. But on our campus, there's 26. One of them is Cochlear, one of the largest bioEA in the world, and the company is doing joint research on hearing, speech pathology, audiology, cognitive science, and psychology. So this is the example. Opposite the Cochlear, we have this clinical education called Australia Hearing Hub. They're doing clinical education, research innovation, and industry partners. Anything to do with hearing, speech pathology, audiology in Australia is in Macquarie. So I'm not going to go through the detail. I thought there's only six minutes for me left. And there's 5 faculties, and Faculty of Science and Medicine and Health Science is one of our new faculty, and they're managing the hospital as well. One of the things is very unique is because we are the only university that owns a hospital. And in Australia, the doctors are not affiliated with hospital or university. They're independent. So we set up this called Macquarie Health Structure. We have this Macquarie Clinical Associates. There's about 20 top surgeons around the country affiliated with that association. So what we do is look after them. We look after because we are most advanced hospital. And if they do say neurosurgery, they're using the Gamma knife, they have to come to Macquarie Hospital to do the surgery. So what we look after them in return, they have to do research and teaching through Macquarie University as well. So that's the relationship. So this, I'm not going to go to the detail if anyone interested. So this Macquarie University Clinical Associate is basically associate with that. This is all the clinical program, clinical disciplines, and all the research strengths is in that area, neuroscience and cancer, bone joints, and cardiovascular research. Okay, international research partnership is so important for us because we're such a small university. In such a small country, it's only 23 million people. But the university itself, we have about 40,000 students. 25% are international students. I'm managing about 3,000 PhD students. In my PhD student, 3,000, is about 40% are international students, including 70 from Iran. Why is so important that we come into Iran? Because they are outstanding students. We know Iran have a very good research and education system. And all the students we have in Macquarie and from Iran are outstanding. That's why the supervisor is happy with them, I'm happy with them, and that's why we want to do that. So international research, we basically put them into four different the quadrant. So basically what we try to do is capacity building. This whole program is spending a huge amount of money because the Macquarie University are different financial models. So we invest about 35 million Australian dollars each year on PhD scholarship to nurturing the Kotatau and Joint PhD program. So we basically try to have this excellent quality HDR, we call them HDR, high degree research, programs and experience. Quality HDR candidates and quality institutional partners and quality funding sources. So that's the four area we're trying to focus on. So we have about 300 Kotatau and Joint PhDs, and currently we have about 120 enrolled, and with 30 countries, 65% of my partners is in Europe. So this is our landscape and of our international partners on Kotatau and Joint PhD. As I said, 65% in Europe. Asia is taking a large chunk, fast growing. Canada and the United States and in North America, Latin America is growing very fast. And also, of course, you know, New Zealand, we don't treat them as international, we see them as part of us. And also in Africa, we're very weak because we're only working with two or three universities in South Africa, Stellenbosch, Cape Town, and the Northwest. So what's the difference between those two? So we don't do double PhDs. One thesis, one intellectual property can only generate one degree. But there's a two different format, as Jan mentioned this morning. One is called joint PhD, which is, I'm gonna show you the degree, and one is called co-tutel. So in this program, it's called co-supervision. Of course, the French exported the co-tutel word, it's a French word. And basically, they have to spend both time equally in the institutions, and they will have a two certificate. But the two certificates refer to each other. In fact, they want degrees. Okay, why are we doing it? It's very benefit for the institutions. It's equal partnerships. And it's really, and I was talking to a colleague from Ukraine downstairs and there, and why are we doing it? Because we really believe is you need a big program to basically to glue the researchers to interested to have this responsibility to work together. 65% of our joint Kotatau and joint PhD program contribute to the joint publications between University of Hamburg and Macquarie University. 65% are published by the PhD student and the two supervisors. Another program we have is called Idea Labs. This is part of the European Horizon 2020, and it's part of the ITM program. A student will concurrently enrolled in five universities. It's leading by Potsdam University in Germany, Groningen in Netherlands, Trento in Italy, and also Newcastle in UK, and Macquarie University. EU funded this program about 5.6 million euro, and then we're part of this program, and 90 PhD students enrolled in this program as well. DAAD funded us last year. It's about 1 million euro between Fudan University in China and Hamburg University in Germany. PhD student will enroll in three universities, and they will have a certificate with the three universities logo on that as well. So that's in 12 disciplines. There's currently about 25 PhD students enrolled in this program. This is our degree. This is our Kotatau degree, which is issued by Macquarie University. But if you have a look at here, the degree is jointly supervised with the University of Paris Sud 11, which is now part of the Paris Sucre in France, and is under the Kotatau and Joint PhD program. So the university can independently issue this certificate, but at the same time, it's a one degree and refer to each other. So basically, they have a two certificate, but it's one degree because one intellectual property can only confer one degree based on Australian regulation. And the second certificate I showed you is a joint degree with University of Edinburgh in the UK. And this is quite a common, we just put two logos. Depends on the country. Some country put like millions words there, and they have to be German, Chinese, English, or whatever. And so that's, in fact, I think the supervision is quite easy compared with how we're going to agree with the regulation in the final degree. And the last one is about five universities. I want to show you this is five universities. Yep. So I'm nearly finished. So this is all partners, and two universities sitting here. University of Toronto is our joint PhD partner. Charles is our Cogetel partner. And the university will give every single student, like University of Tehran and Medical Science, Tehran University of Medical Science, will give them, I think the PhD scholarship is $200,000, and so that's basically 36 months for the tuition fee, 18 months, and when the student in Sydney will get them full scholarship and a return ticket from Tehran to Sydney as well. That's pretty much what I want to say, and thank you so much for